Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
On today's episode of Down the Wire, episode 20, so you know we had to do something special for it, like maybe our first special guest ever on the podcast. Chris Platt's going to join us from the Chair Shot Radio Network, talking NBA basketball, MLB. The playoffs are crazy, and I'm still in California. All this and more coming at you down the wire. Okay, carry out episode 20, down the wire, baby. What?
The big one.
20. Almost, our podcast can almost drink.
As our guest chugs something from his red Solo cup, looking extra professional. If you didn't hear the intro, because, you know, sometimes people just skip right over that shit, we have Christopher Platt, none other than the, I would say, pretty close to either you or PC Tunney. You are like the chairshot.com prostitute. You get spread around to pretty much every podcast on this network.
Well, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Aesop Thomas, honor, privilege, and pleasure to be here. And I guess I am the chairshot whore, huh?
Like I said, it's either you or Tunney, man.
I mean, it's worse things to be in the world.
No, at least you get your rocks off.
Hey, we've put your voice in our podcast before already. I mean, with some ads and whatnot. So this should be nothing new to people.
It was like the first three episodes.
Yeah, we've kind of stopped doing that since, but all right.
Gee, thanks. Hey, congratulations, though, on 20 episodes, man. That's a big deal. I really dig what you guys are doing, and I'm excited that you guys invited me on. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you. I mean, we've been – this is, like, the only thing we look forward to every week, so this is all we have left right now.
Regarding ourselves, regarding each other, like, as a combined entity, because, you know – I have other stuff that's way fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm in L.A. right now, okay, asshole? So I'm doing shit, too.
Look, I was beeping you up. You know, you were going to terrible L.A. Angels games.
Hey.
Rocking those Hawaiian shirts.
Hey. The L.A. Angels, look at this. I'm going to say this right now. Angels Stadium of Anaheim, which is a terrible name for the stadium. That's the first thing. They got to find a way to rebrand that. Look, I mean, get some sort of company in there. If American Family can do it, any of these companies can. Like, one of the best experiences I've ever had at a ballpark. Honestly, super nice park. We were 10 feet away from catching Brandon Marsh's home run, and Shohei Ohtani also went yard. So that was about all we could ask for.
What about, like, Preparation H Park?
we should have a segment where we just, like, worst companies that could sponsor a ballpark.
Sounds like a pain in the ass to me.
Hey. Oh, man, I set that one up. Shit, that's more of a softball than baseball.
Yikes. But, I mean, there was, like, a lot of great baseball this week, and we were even able to watch it. Shohei Ohtani was Player of the Week. He just got named Player of the Week for it, too. And he homered every single game of the week, except the game he pitched, and he won the game he pitched. He struck out 8 players. So,
And he entered himself into the home run derby this week.
Really? That's going to be electric, because he hits bombs, man. Just all he does is hit bombs.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I am mad. I have cautiously avoided the Shohei Ohtani train, because I just didn't think he was going to continue this historic run of being a pitcher and a DH. But I have been proven wrong.
He's doing some Babe Ruth shit.
Not only have I been proven wrong about that, but I owe you $5. The Clippers eliminated the Jazz last week, and I still can't even believe that shit
happened. Dude, Clippers-Jazz... What a series. The NBA playoffs has been insane, I think. I was going to start it off with saying how I would probably put this as one of the craziest slash best playoffs in my lifetime right now I can remember. Very not chalk, don't know what the hell is going to happen the entire time, and not just because the Bucks are in the Eastern Conference Finals, but... The entire playoffs has been fantastic to watch any game.
And shout out to the Clippers, man, for ridding us of the scourge, which was the Utah Jazz. Nobody in America wanted the Jazz in the goddamn finals. Like, nobody.
No one. No one wanted Rudy Gobert to get any satisfaction after what he did to us the last year.
No, dude. Look. Say what you want about Rudy Gobert. Mr. COVID, because he is. That man, when he touched all the mics last year and then got COVID, like the entire locker room COVID, I'm not going
to
lie.
And then gave it to Donovan Mitchell.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen. But how do you not like Donovan Mitchell? Donovan Mitchell is a stud. And that poor man did not get on the NBA first team, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, that does make sense. How do you have the best record in the league and you're not even on the we'll even go second team? How are you not on the all NBA team whatsoever? And I'm not mad at Rudy for what he did. Obviously the Melon Farmer didn't know he had COVID. I just don't really like him as a player. I think he's overrated. Good defensive guy, but
greatest nickname in sports right now, Stifle Tower, baby. That's awesome. you cannot convince me otherwise. The Stifle Tower is a fantastic nickname.
It's also probably the best nickname not in the conference finals, too. So there we go. They are officially done right there. It's done for them. I honestly have no idea how. That's probably the most... Now, which one's more surprising, though? The Jazz knocking out the Clippers, which without Kawhi Leonard for we don't know how long. I mean, there's been so many rumors on he's going to be gone for... Day to day, they're going to just keep announcing it. And then there was people saying that next year he's not going to play because he's got a partial tear in his ACL or something like that. The uncertainty with Kawhi throughout this whole thing is really weird. And I think if we see something where the Suns are running away with this series, we're going to hear worse news about Kawhi Leonard later on.
Look, I agree. But as much as I was wrong about the Clippers beating the Jazz, I did tell you that playoff Paul would be coming around the corner. Look at Paul George, baby. He has been dynamite for that Clippers team. I don't know what happened, but he got some type of adrenaline shot in the arm, and that man has been going off.
Who's had a bigger face turn in the last couple of years than Paul George? Because even within these playoffs, everybody was shitting on Paul George, and then he came up huge in the last couple of games of that series. So shout out to Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, has Paul George ever really been a bad guy, though? I mean, especially after dude, like, crippled himself for Team USA.
Right.
Like, you could be disappointed in Paul, but you could never truly hate Paul George.
I don't think people hated him like he was a villain. It was a hatred of, why are you playing like this? I mean, we thought the Clippers were the second best team after the Lakers assembly in the NBA, and that's how it was supposed to be. And it didn't look like that these last 2 years. I mean, in the bubble, Paul George was virtually useless. I mean, just dog shit player. Might as well have had Tony Snell running up and down for you, okay? And it looked like it again a little couple times here. Like, if Kawhi Leonard didn't have a big game, Paul George was very useless at some points over here. He needed to play well in order for them to win games. Now, with Kawhi Leonard being gone, he's taken on the role of their star player, and he's only been dropping 30. That's all he does. He's just a guaranteed 30 now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So we're recording this on a Monday evening, and I think last night we now have our new Paul George, which everybody is going to – the guy that everybody's just going to shit on in basketball. And I low-key, I feel bad for the guy. I really do. I feel bad. I truly feel bad for Ben Simmons because, I mean, this kid, what is he, 23, 24 years old?
Yeah.
And the whole world hates him right now?
Look, Ben Simmons – has been shit on for quite some time. It's not been...
Hey, 30 million, you know, no jumper is crazy. 30 million no jumper is crazy. I mean, that's nuts. Come on.
The only person that got ragged on more than Ben Simmons is Markel Fultz. And he's just starting to shake off those horrible...
Hey, they miss Markel Fultz right now. Bad. Bad.
All right. So let me ask you guys, man, because I live in Atlanta. Full disclosure, I'm not from here, but I live here, and that's a cool story. But if you're the Sixers, what the hell do you do? Because number one, if you trade Ben Simmons, you're not going to get market value for him because everybody's been watching the playoffs this whole time. And number two, if you trade him, you're banking on a good, what, 5 to 7 year run of a healthy Embiid. We know that shit's not going to happen. Mm. And you make your team notably worse if you get rid of him. So I don't really know what they do, even though they're two best players. I don't think they could play together.
I think they gotta just accept the fact that, like, yeah, Ben Simmons is a really good playmaker, but he should not be playing guard for us. That's what I think it is. They obviously, he's scared to shoot the damn ball. He took one shot, one outside of the paint in the entire playoffs, had the worst free throw percentage of all time at 34.2%. Oh my God, what? That's ridiculous. Lower than Shaquille O'Neal and Wilt Chamberlain were the last two records. And this man is the point guard, okay? Like, what are you doing out there? I don't know what you would do. I think that
all those trade rumors are a little bit much right now. Like, he's obviously not right in the head. He has got the yips, if I've ever seen it before.
It's all mental right now.
It is all in his head. And to be honest, I think what they need to do is phase him out of their point guard role and just let him play next to Embiid and make passes from the paint if he wants to do something like that. He's 6'10". He's big as hell. Let him do his thing. Use his body. Get to the rim.
But he does everything else well. He's a great the best part of his game is his passing ability. He's 6'10", he's left-handed, he's a great rebounder. I mean, talent-wise, he's got the talent to be the best player in the league, but they need to hire him a life coach or get a psychiatrist in there or something like that, man, and figure it out. Because, yeah, he's in his head at this point, and that's no bueno for a professional athlete.
They have to be realistic initially. He's not the number two guy, and they need to not try to make him the number two. And especially when you consider, what was it, a couple of years ago, you know, they more or less, these Sixers chose Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and even their coach at the time, Brett Brown, they picked those guys over Jimmy Butler. And just think, if they would have had Jimmy Buckets on this team, could have been an entirely different story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a big mistake, not keeping Jimmy Butler. Obviously, we can say that now in hindsight, but you bring up the point about the coach, and I don't think we're talking enough about Doc Rivers and how he might be one of like the most overrated coaches of all time.
I'm glad you brought that up, man. Number one, the Jimmy Butler thing, they wanted to keep Jimmy. Jimmy didn't want to be there because he didn't respect Brett Brown, and he knew what he saw what it was. But I'm glad you brought up the Doc thing, man, because it's funny. The media always list Doc in the top five best coaches in the league. I always let it slide because he was black. I'm not even going to lie to you. I let it slide. I didn't want to say anything publicly and dog another brother. But, I mean, I think that his shortcomings, I think he's been exposed between last year with the Clippers and this year. I think he has been exposed. I mean, the reason they love him so much is because he's really good with the media. He's charming. All the media people like him, so they prop him up on that pedestal. But, yeah, as much as everybody wants to shit on Ben Simmons, Doc Rivers, some of that shit got to go over to Doc Rivers as well. I mean, this motherfucker couldn't make any adjustments whatsoever throughout this entire series. And on paper, there's no way in Hades that the Hawks should have even been in the same league with the Sixers.
No, none. He has the most Game 7 losses of any coach of all time now. Doc Rivers.
Doc should be looking for a job, my friend. I don't quite understand why they always beef him up so much either. And to your excuse, Matt, now you at least got like Nate McMillan and Monty Brown to look up.
Monty Williams. Put some respect on his name.
Not Monty Brown.
Not yikes.
Shout out the prototype, though, man. I thought he was going to have a career, too, and it didn't work out for him. So, yeah.
Well, he had to donate a liver or something like that to his brother. Like, I think that's what happened to him. But, at least you got much better coaches to look up to there. Yeah, I never quite understood that about Doc Rivers either. The guy only had one title at all.
With like four Hall of Famers on his team.
Yeah, that KD was coaching that team. Let's keep it a bucket of ass.
Yeah, I mean, what? Rondo's a toss-up Hall of Famer, right? For the Basketball Hall of Fame? He's probably there. I mean, and then Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Garnett, I think they're all there now already, right?
Don't forget Brian Scalabrine, too.
Oh, and Kendrick Perkins. Like, come on, man. This team was just stacked, dude. They had Shaq in there like a couple years later. Like, you know what I mean? Doc Rivers was carried by his players.
To be fair, the Basketball Hall of Fame is pretty much like the WWE Hall of Fame. They let anybody in that Mellow Pharma. So Rondo probably did. Like, Ben Wallace got in. So, yeah.
Whoa! Ben Wallace, he's all right.
Hall of Fame player, though.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's just not. There's not a lot. It doesn't take a whole lot.
We talked about this the other week when they announced the inductees, and there's some definitely some questionable ones. First of all, I'm sorry, I don't like Paul Pierce. I think Paul Pierce is overrated.
Very overrated.
In my opinion. I know. He had some amazing years in the early 2000s. But really, like, post-2007, is that when they won?
Yeah, 08, 07, somewhere around there. Sounds right.
After that title run, dude, he's absolutely terrible. He's just trash.
And don't even talk about his retirement tour through Brooklyn and the Clippers, where he was just fucking shit, man. There was nothing he did not in a Celtics uniform as well. So,
y'all do realize he was in like year 10 or 11 when they finally won the title.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's supposed to be good his whole career. Yeah. Like, come on.
Or at least most of it.
Right.
Yeah, because Shaq was balling the fuck out those last 3 or 4 years, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, so he was fat Shaq. That's fat shaming right now, Chris. Now you're fat shaming, all right? Because Shaq was, when Shaq had his thyroid problem, yeah, maybe he wasn't as great, all right? How about that, all right?
Hey, he was busy not only being a basketball player, but being like a Miami-Dade County police officer as well.
And a DJ as well. Like, come on. He sells printers now. Haven't you seen his printer commercials? We talked about this last week. Like, he's...
I never understood the cop thing. Like, it's Shaquille fucking O'Neal. Who the fuck is buying dope from Shaquille O'Neal?
Why does he need a gun either? Like, he doesn't need a gun either if he's a cop. Like, come on, it's Shaq, man. Like, that's not going to stop him.
He's going to show up in that Papa John's wig and mustache.
We were talking about that, too.
Oh, it was Papa John's. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Amazing commercial, by the way.
Great commercial.
So do you think Doc Rivers comes back next year?
I would say yes, if I were to say. It was his first year. It was, honestly, he was very forgettable as the Sixers coach this year, I felt like. I found myself being like, oh, shit, Doc Rivers coaches the Sixers. Like, I forgot all about it. But I'm pretty sure it was his first year. They're gonna blame Ben Simmons more than they're blaming him this year right now, it looks like, too, on top of it. So if Ben Simmons is on the team next year, that would be more surprising than if Doc Rivers wasn't on the team, if that made sense.
To be fair, I mean, he did push them to the top seed in the East, and they were, other than y'all Milwaukee team, they were probably the best defensive team all year. So yeah, he's gonna come back. But I don't know what you do with Ben Simmons at this point. I think a change of scenery would be great for everybody, but where does he go? I mean, to be fair, I mean, he's got that $30 million price tag, but to be fair, the Celtics found a sucker to take Kemba's contract, so anything is possible.
Okay, but now you're talking, are we ready to call Kemba Walker terrible on top of it? Because their return for it was way worse, in my opinion. I mean,
He's just damaged goods. He was damaged goods when they signed him.
Kemba Walker,
injury-wise, he's fucked up.
Kemba Walker was overrated coming into the league as well. He was not worth that draft pick. Was he second overall, third overall?
No, I think he was like seventh. I think he was a little bit later.
Really?
Yeah, he was a little later.
Well, I don't know. Kemba Walker was never worth the amount that the Boston Celtics gave up for him in that trade. And, man, Sam Presti down in Oklahoma, that is a madman, right? Because how many effing draft picks do they have?
36. 36 in the next, like, 5 years.
He's got, like a potential of 6 first-round picks in this year's draft.
Including,
first-round picks.
Yeah, including, like, 2 in the top 5 and 3 in the top, like, 10 or something like that.
The hell?
You know, but honestly, how do you not take that trade if you're the Thunder and they get offered that? You give up Al Horford's terrible contract. You lose Moses Brown, okay, whatever. You get a first-round pick and Kemba Walker back? I don't think that's a bad trade for the Thunder at all.
And Presti's got a good track record here. I believe he drafted Durant, Westbrook, Harden.
All in back-to-back-to-back years.
Steven Adams. Like, he's got a pretty good track record when it comes to these draft picks. So maybe they can make it work. And, I mean, they're a small market team. So they're not good. Nobody is jumping off of small porches to go play in OKC. Beautiful city, but nobody's trying to do that. So the only way that they could possibly be competitive is to see if they can hit on some of these draft picks. What else are they going to do?
And I promise you, before this year's draft, Kemba Walker gets traded again for another first-round pick. Whether or not it's this year's draft or not, I don't know. But there, I'm almost certain Kemba goes elsewhere. I don't know where, but they don't need him. They don't want him. Kemba does nothing for the Thunder going forward.
Yeah, I get it. I get he had a really rough stint in Boston. He did not look good, but he is like the best Charlotte Hornet of all time, to be fair, and that's got to be worth a little bit of.
Whoa! Alonzo Mourning just called, and he's cussing your ass out.
Okay,
right now.
Okay. Kemba's the all-time scoring leader.
Baron Davis is there too, bro.
Oh my God! Stop. What? Yeah, right. Cody Zeller's second too on all of this. That's your guys' list. What the fuck, man? I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think I'm ready to say Kemba Walker is terrible yet. To the point where he's not even worth a first-round pick in return for the Thunder? Or for the Celtics?
He's damaged goods, man. Those lower extremities on him, man. He's damaged goods. It just is what it is. He's damaged goods. He's hurt.
The only time Kemba ever showed up is when he played the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's when he went off and dropped 45 fucking points on an average. And it was like, oh, yeah. And you know how many times people referred back to his games against the Bucks? I saw them constantly when, right before he was traded to Boston. So, like, I don't know. Kemba's just so overrated to me. I can't even believe they got that good of a first-round pick for him. It's absolutely maddening. But like I said, Sam Prince.
They didn't get a first round pick for him. They didn't. They gave up a first round pick with Kemba.
I'm talking about Sam Presti here. Sam Presti is a damn wizard.
Yeah.
And I'm giving him all the props in the world.
That's what I'm saying. What the fuck, man? Should we talk about the other side now? I feel like if you watch the ESPN coverage, which who does, because they suck lately, for a while, actually, now. But they have all been talking about how these teams have lost this last week, how the Hawks, or not about how the Sixers have lost versus the Hawks, and how the Nets lost to the Bucks. Can we talk about the guys who won? Can we talk about that? Like, this is their moment. We'll start with the Hawks, because we'll dive in with the Bucks, but how about Trae Young? I mean, just absolute animal in the postseason right now. You can't even name five players on the Hawks until this last run here. Like, a guy who single-handedly, and with help from his favorite white boy, Kevin Huerter, took down the number one seed in the East.
The Hawks are low-key a good team, though, man. You know, I have my reservations about Trae Young. I thought that maybe he was a good guy, bad stats type of guy on the Sharif Abdul-Rahim side of the game. But, no, he's a dog. And he didn't even play that well last night, but he wasn't scared. And, you know, Gabe Simmons, you know, a lot of people get lemon booty there. But, no, they're a decent team, man. The Clint Capella trade, that took them to the next level. Bogdanovich can play. Shout out to Opie Taylor last night, who played the game of his life. You know what I mean? And Collins can play. Like, they're a good team. And Nate McMillan, I don't know why it never seems to work out for him, because everywhere he goes, he wins.
Yeah, dude, and that's the whole reason why they've been talking, kind of tie the conversation together. They were talking about Nate McMillan leaving for Boston now. So I was talking about it last week, that I thought that might affect the Hawks a little bit going into this Eastern Conference Finals and the potential of losing to the Sixers. But clearly it didn't. They show up for Nate McMillan. And you're right, Vlad. Every time Nate McMillan steps onto the floor as a coach, those teams play for him, man. And also, I take offense. I could definitely name five players on that Hawks team.
It was just a sly, Adam, real quick. Okay, that's all it was supposed to be.
Also, speaking of people playing out, for Nate McMillan, you were shitting on Tony Snell, and Tony Snell is having a career year. Thank you very much.
Well, he just was a bum on the Bucks. He literally ran around on a court.
Everywhere else.
Literally was running around on the court for 29 minutes and didn't get a stat. You remember that? I know you remember that. He didn't get a stat for 29 minutes. Didn't even get a stat, man. No steals, no blocks, nothing. 29 minutes. That man was, he should have just been on a treadmill. The hell was he doing?
You do have to give him mad credit for that because you know you're an NBA player if you can do that.
Right. Ultimate team guy there. Ultimate team guy.
I'm just saying.
Just running around for him. Fucking A, man.
He's a better version of Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
That's not fair, man, because Wes was a dog before he tore his ACL. That's not fair to Wesley Matthews, man.
Hey, we've experienced Wesley Matthews at Marquette and in Milwaukee, and he was all right. He's all right, but, like, honestly,
He was fucked up by the time he got to y'all, though.
He's an overrated role player at best. I mean, like, everyone knows he's going to be a role player, but, like, is he really going to be that much of a role player? It's like, you never know what you're going to get with him. I also, what did I want to talk about next here? Should we just move on to him? Should we just move on to our hometown? The fucking Bucks, man. Why did they not just win this in six games instead? They should have just won it in six games. And now Bucks in six is now officially Bucks in seven after this series. But they had no business losing the first one. They let Kevin Durant score, what, a million points in that game? 49 or something like that? And they still, he still put 40 on their head yesterday. And thank God Kevin Durant is built like such a fucking freak that his feet are so damn big. And he, just from having large feet and stepping on the line, the Bucks are now in the Eastern Conference Finals, baby. Let's go. Let's, yes. Good shit, man.
He was tired, man. He literally gave everything he had. He literally gave his all. And that last shot, you could see it in his face. He was just dead ass tired. He was on the floor the entire game, just like he was in game five. And if he didn't do that, they wouldn't have won. But Kevin is planting his flag right now as LeBron starts to slip as the best player in the league. I don't even think it's close right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, respect to the Milwaukee Bucks, man, because that was the game of the year. That's probably the best basketball game I've seen in years. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I don't want to hear shit about James Harden anymore. Everybody always wants to talk shit about James Harden. That Mellon Farmer was out there on one fucking leg the last three games. That game seven, he was doing every old white guy at the rec trick he possibly could to be a factor in the game and try to give him something. So I don't want to hear shit about James Harden anymore, man.
I don't think there's any doubt about Durant passing up. I think he solidified himself as the best player in the NBA after that series, no matter what.
I think I saw the stat. It was like, over the course of the seven games, Kevin Durant didn't play like 8 minutes or something like that.
Fuck.
It was something insane.
Damn.
Like, holy fucking shit. No wonder he was tired. I was cracking the joke all day. The Bucks made the Nets suffer Jeff fatigue. That's what was going on, baby. They were exhausted. And not only were the Nets exhausted, the Bucks were absolutely dead tired, too. They had to call a timeout in the second quarter because Giannis was sucking wind, dude. And that's Giannis, man. Giannis usually don't be doing shit like that. But he looked like a YMCA basketball dad for a hot second.
Well, and I think there's no doubt that I can say if Kyrie Irving's playing this game, like, we're not having the same conversation right now. Kyrie Irving really stepped up, I think, as an NBA player and gained a lot of respect, I think, through this series as well, too. And the Nets' ultimate demise is they just couldn't stay healthy this year. They played, like, 15 games, 20 games with all three of them on the court, and it shows, like, they need those three guys on there. You're looking at other stuff like Joe Harris was really helpful for them. My new least favorite player in the NBA, got to be Nick Claxton. Like, fuck that guy, dude. All he does, he's not even good. It just seems like it always goes his way. Like, whatever he's doing something, Nick Claxton is the luckiest fucking dude in the NBA. He guards Giannis and gets a foul on him. He guards this guy, gets the foul. Ball just falls right to him. He can slam it, dunk it. Like, Nick Claxton does, it just is always in the right, and it's not even looks, it doesn't even look like he's good at basketball. It looks like he's getting bailed out all the time. But the Bucks, shout out to the Bucks, down 3-2, had to go to Brooklyn still with Kevin Durant and James Harden, who are a way better duo than Giannis and Middleton. But they did have the third holiday, of course, too. I did not think there was any chance that the Bucks could do this with two of the Nets superstars playing, because they didn't look like they had it in the beginning of the series, obviously. But shout out to them for the comeback there. Down 2-0 to start and down 3-2 to still fight back. And now the Bucks look like they're the favorite to get to the finals.
They look like they're the favorite to win. But we have to also point out, though, Tom, it was a one-legged James Harden. You know, game five, yeah. He was out yeah. there. He was clearly just a decoy. Right. We talked about his performance in game seven. But, yeah, a healthy Kyrie or Harden, this series goes completely different. But you know what? I'm not taking that away from y'all, man. Next man up. It is what it is. You got to play with what you got. And you all showed some heart that I didn't think you had. I thought that if the Nets kept that game close, y'all would fold like a cheap rug, but you didn't. Drew Holiday played like shit for three quarters, but he came through big in the fourth quarter as well as overtime. Middleton hit some shots in overtime in the fourth quarter as well. And Giannis focused and hit his fucking free throws. Like, y'all won that game, man. Yeah, y'all won that game. I got to tip my hat.
We got to give credit to the Brooklyn fans, because them counting for Giannis definitely helped him. I don't care. I know they were trying to be, like, funny as hell and trying to rag him and shit, but I promise you that helped Giannis play better, because he was able to get those shots off within the 10 seconds, which, yep. You know, they've been dogging him all fucking playoffs for him taking 13 fucking seconds to shoot a goddamn free throw. And thank you, Brooklyn Nets fans. I guarantee you they do. The Bucks fans start doing that going forward.
Well, and thank you
for this Eastern Conference Finals, but if they make it to the NBA championship, they do it there as well.
Well, and I'm going to say thank you to Ben Simmons too, for shooting so terribly at the line that it really took away from Giannis's season from the line too, as well too, for a callback to him. So do we all think that we're going to see Bucks Suns finals? Is that what we're going with then here?
It's the safest bet. The Suns are so good right now. They terrify me if I'm a Bucks fan. I will say, though, that the Bucks match up better against the Suns than they do the Clippers, I guess, you know, realistically. But, I mean, look what the Suns are doing without Chris Paul right now. They're still taking it to him. And then you're going to add that guy, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer. Man, they're really good right now.
I will say this. I'm originally from Cleveland, so I saw a lot of Tyronn Lue during that Cleveland run in the playoffs a few years ago. His most underrated and best attribute as a coach is his ability to make adjustments. And I saw that firsthand. Now, that being said, if there's no Kawhi in this series at all whatsoever, I don't really know what adjustments you could make versus this Suns team, but I don't want to count them out because of that. But I mean, that's got to be the you know, Bucks Suns, that's got to be the leader in the clubhouse at this particular point in time. I just wanted to throw that caveat out there.
And I think right now, as the Bucks fan seeing this, we got to take on Atlanta, because Atlanta is just riding this Cinderella story right now, so you got to stop that before it keeps rolling. There's no looking forward, absolutely not. But the Suns, DeAndre Ayton is what scares me the most, because I know Devin Booker's going to give me buckets. I you can expect that. That's fine. Chris Paul, he's going to manage the game well. He paces better than any point guard probably in the NBA right now. DeAndre Ayton is just looks like a Greek god chiseled this man. I mean, just absolutely ripped, strong as hell. He's big as fuck. He's got to be 7 feet, 265, like 4% body fat. And he is really coming alive in the playoffs, obviously. And against the Bucks, like, who do you throw on him? Giannis? Like, I don't think so. Do you throw Brook Lopez? Like, who guards him? This guy has potential, and Clint Capella probably would have the best shot of anyone on the West or on the East at stopping him. And I think he's making him look like, you know, his bitch for the night too.
I'm not super worried about Ayton as much. He's don't get me wrong. He has definitely been coming to form in this playoffs. In fact, you've seen that a lot. A lot of new superstars truly emerging from this playoff. Like Platt said, Trae Young, man. Trae Young is looking like a bona fide stud.
Well, and if you're that 2018 class, just to interrupt you real quick, just so we can have a point, like, who's mad at who they picked? The Suns got Ayton, Doncic is on the Mavs, and Trae Young on the Hawks. Like, who's mad about it? Luka's the best player. They're obviously not in the draft, or not in the playoffs anymore. And the other two use those guys to ride them to the playoff run.
100%.
Yeah, up until about, what, 3 weeks ago when they beat the Lake Show, Aiden's claim to fame was he got picked over Luka. But this fellow farmer has made himself some money in this postseason run. Like, unquestionably, without a doubt, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, big time, dude. And I like I said, superstars are just popping up out of this playoffs run, man. Donovan Mitchell is looking like a true superstar. Like I said earlier, absolute shame that he didn't even make it onto any All-NBA team, which is just ridiculous. But this playoffs is looking great. And now we're finally going to have, like, man, we're going to have a new champion, a new NBA champion from a bunch of either teams that have never been there, you know, Phoenix and LA, or teams that haven't been there since the 70s, you know, with the like Hawks and what's it called? Hawks and Bucks. So this is going to be a fantastic Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, and eventually NBA Finals.
Yeah, this is really, really good for basketball to have some change, because without having, like, these superstar players in here now too, there is sort of that, like you said, new superstar appeal to these. And, you know, a lot of people find themselves rooting for Chris Paul, who's been in the league forever, and he's never got his ring or never had his chance to get there, and he's taken a team like that. Devin Booker is now moving himself up the ladder on players in the NBA. Paul George having a little bit of a rebirth, like you said. It's nothing but good right now, and I'm all for it. It's been great.
Shout out to Devin Booker, by the way, who has been the NBA's best-kept secret for the last few years. Like, he even got the Kobe rub. Kobe even, you know, anointed this guy or co-signed this guy. So shout out to him. And Chris Paul, at this point, he's on the Tom Brady side of the game at this point in time, man. I mean, is he as good as he's ever been? No. But just his presence in the locker room and just his mere presence has totally transformed that organization. And similar to Tom Brady, he's got a lot of young studs around him that can go out and go, and you see what's happening with it.
And that Chris Paul shaming can end right now. We again, talked about that last week. Chris Paul gets so much hate for no one when that man is a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. And you can even though the Suns are still doing well right now, you can see that they miss him on the court.
Yeah, should be a great playoffs. Let's try something else here. You guys, did you guys hear what the NCAA this morning? The new rules on the compensation to reduce their amateur status. Now, I don't really quite get it. It's like educational compensation. Like, they can give them like a free laptop now and shit like that. It it seems like it's going to be exploited as a loophole here to just start bribing players with whatever the fuck they want for an educational purpose, like new cars because they can't get to class or shit like that. So, I mean, obviously we know that we need these guys to get something for their name, image, and likeness probably along the way. I think we're all in agreement on that. I'm not sure about you, Chris, but I think me and Dave see eye to eye on, like, if these guys want to sell an autograph, let them sell a fucking autograph. It's not that serious. But do you think this, like, obviously it's in the right direction of where they should be going with this, but I don't know if this really does anything right now. It's it just seems more of a bribe tactic for recruiting now than actually getting something done with this whole situation.
The NCAA is so full of shit. Let's just start there. Yeah. They're just completely and utterly yeah. full of shit. I think we could all agree on that one, right? And I think we're getting closer and closer to these guys and the women as well being able to be compensated, which they should. I mean, these mother farmers generate billions of dollars for these universities, and it's a fucking infraction or a violation if somebody buys them a cheeseburger. Like, none of that makes dog sense. We could all agree to that. And I think that the tide is changing slowly but surely, and I think that's why you see a lot of these older coaches like Krzyzewski or Roy Williams. I think that's why they're starting to get out the game now, because they see that the tide is changing. And, I mean, these Bell Farmers should be compensated. And if I'm the NCAA, I'm partnering up with the NFL. I'm partnering up with the NBA and doing what I can to try to incentivize these guys and women to stay in college longer, because ultimately that's going to fortify our game. Like, you know, if you go back to like the 80s and shit like that, like Patrick Ewing had 4 years of being on television at Georgetown, so by the time he got to the league, it was a big fucking deal, and he'd already made a name for himself. That shit doesn't happen now. It's one and done. So these rules are antiquated, and they've got to do something. So if this is going to improve collegiate sports, I'm with it. And more importantly, if these athletes can get compensated, I'm definitely for that. Now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, Flat, like, if they could work together with the professional leagues, the NCAA would be so much stronger. Now, you know, you were saying if they can work together, at least from the basketball standpoint, the NBA is moving away from working with them. That's why they opened up they're like directly to G League, whatevers. Isn't that what they started last
year? Yeah, they started. Like, you're now allowed to go to the G League to sign professionally, which I don't know how you work that out, but that's a whole other thing. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, so like right then and there, there is no incentive to go to college for a lot of these like A-list stars. You know, so yeah, I think if you had someone that had the same level of hype as a Patrick Ewing, who had 4 years at Georgetown, there's no chance in hell that he goes to Georgetown. He goes right to the G League, signs with, you know, whatever Albuquerque isotope, you know, team, and starts, you know, lighting it up, and then eventually gets a two-way contract by mid-season, you know, and that dude's making millions right off the bat.
Well, it's going to be very telling this year, because the two big names, at least I know, are Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. Those were the two that were like top 10 guys in the class that went to the G League as opposed to going to college. And Jalen Green was, you know, fighting for the number one spot on some people's list. If they pan out as rookies and show promise in their first years, we're going to see a lot more guys probably take that route. Now, when you go to college, you know, it's a different game of basketball. So adjusting going straight to the G League and kind of playing NBA basketball right away might be something you see, and it's going to be more common, because in college they're focused a lot on the team game with it. They're still working around. I mean, obviously there is the Dukes and Kentuckys that kind of let their guys become stars, but we really don't see like the 25, 30-point game averages in college. These guys are just trying to pass the ball around, get everyone some reps. So I think it's very crucial this next year to see how this G League idea develops. And it's ultimately just getting to the point of where we're going to get to one and done all over again, or not one and done rather, but straight out of high school again. I think we're just ultimately going to get our way right back to there, because the NBA wants the talent in as fast as possible. And Zion Williamson could have been playing the NBA at 16. We saw that man out there. So why not let him go enter the draft and the team take a chance on him?
I'm glad we're recording on your end of things, because me and Platt just watched your blank face for about, I don't know, 15 seconds. So,
something like that.
The best part is we just sat there. We didn't even say anything for a majority of it.
Wait, did you guys, could you hear me?
For the most part.
Oh. Okay, well, I you're gonna have to listen to that part, because I was spitting facts. There's nothing. It was nothing but facts the whole time.
That's why we didn't interrupt you, because you were clearly in your bag. Like, oh, this is spitting from the survival.
That was some scrolls. Heart.
We not gonna say shit.
Fuck yeah! Oh my god. But yes. Yeah, so anyway, I think it's gonna be very, very telling this next season on how we approach the NCAA and how they're going to take with this name, likeness, and image thing as well, too.
And you are right. They're definitely going to exploit this a little bit, too. And you're going to see some bullshit, like, gifts that are, you know, oh, this helps my degree in, you know, computer technology that I am failing everything in, and like that.
Oh, they don't let them take classes like that, man. They be taking, like, intro into speech writing.
No, yeah,
like
there's no shot. No shot. If you show me one college hooper that's a computer science major, fuck that. No way. There's no chance, man. Maybe at MIT. That's about it. There's none.
Just real quick, man. I apologize, Tom. But
no, go ahead.
I feel like at this point, man, the NCAA, they've got to do something, because they're damn near antiquated at this particular point in time. You look at a guy like LaMelo Ball or a guy like Luka, who's been overseas playing professional ball since they were 16, 17 years old, and how they come into the league. Not only are they acclimated to playing against grown-ass men, but it's a lot less of an adjustment because they've been professionals for a year or two. So, you know, they know how to dry clean their own clothes and make sure they got their socks. Shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm being silly, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, they're just much more acclimated to playing a professional game on this level, and it shows in their performances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's do – I got one more thing we can talk about before we get to our little game at the end here. Today is the opening day for the MLB to enforce the ban on foreign substances and sticky substances, to be specific. And as well as the NCAA, I'm going to say, fuck you, MLB. You managed to make us hate you for punishing cheating, because you're so fucking stupid with it, by doing it in the middle of the year and then addressing this issue like a couple weeks ago, and now making a date where, okay, now we're going to start enforcing the rule that's already existed, but we're going to give it some time. And now on top of it, gonna make it ridiculous, like checking them every half inning on if they have substances and shit. Like, way to speed your game up and make it more attainable for audiences, you fucking idiots, dude.
They already went after DeGrom today, and who did pass. He cleared all of that, and look, they had to, though. The pitching and was so over the top this season. We were getting literally the second worst all-time batting average over like throughout the MLB.
That's also partial to the guys who just want to hit home runs now.
And that is part of the stat line of baseball, right? The home run or bust, which, you know, through analytics is the best way to go. But I don't necessarily mind it. I've been on top of the MLB saying that they needed to address this. I figured they were just going to move the mound back. But it looks like they're going to do the foreign substance first on top of moving the mound back.
Yeah, yeah, moving the mound back. Sorry, you kind of broke up there.
These are trillion-dollar industries, and the margin of error between winning and losing is so minute. I don't even think the average fan realizes how minute the margin between winning and losing is, that if there's anything that you can do to gain a competitive advantage, you're going to do it. It's just like how the crooks are always one step ahead of the cops. They'll find a way, and as well they should. Fuck it.
And it's worse in baseball than any other sport imaginable.
Yeah.
Nothing comes close to baseball's level of cheating.
It's a dirty game. Just if they're going to let the, you know, just let the guys put on foreign substances and let them shoot up anabolic steroids. I mean, like, fuck it. Just do it. Like, at this point, make them sign waivers so they can't sue you and shit, and just let everyone fucking cheat. That's what they want to do.
You can't say that baseball wasn't better when everybody was roided up and
right.
Eight home runs a year.
Exactly. What do you mean? Barry Bonds looked like he ate old Barry Bonds. Like, it was way better.
While we're on the subject of pitchers in baseball, quick shout out to Tommy's boy, Bartolo Colon. Did you see that? 48 years old. Toss a complete game in the Mexican League.
Yes.
Now, it's just the Mexican League. But you know what? That big, sexy Bartolo Colon, dog, he's still at it.
Yeah, he's still working. He's still working. All right, we are near the end. So should we get into our final event, our little game kind of for the evening? So in honor of the NBA playoffs and how we've enjoyed watching it so much this year, we are going to do a snake style draft on our top five favorite best. Which one is it?
The best.
Okay. Best NBA players in the playoffs since the year 2000. So the last 20 years, roughly, that's my lifetime. If you didn't know that, Chris, I was born in 2000. And yeah, so if that made you feel older or not, sorry about that. But
yeah, I feel old as fuck, so fuck you very much, sir.
There you go. Sorry.
I like you as a person, but now I hate you as an individual. So
we're going to be naming our style, and I think it's only fair, because Chris is our guest today, that you can get the first pick, but yes. Now we have to decide, Dave, are we going youngest to oldest here? You want the third?
You take the second pick. I came up with this idea, so I think it's only fair that you get the second pick.
Okay, fine. So if you want, we can start it up right there. The only rules are, has to be after 2000. That is it. It can be any player after that. You don't have to back it up with anything. If you want to, great. But, you know, in the all-time players draft, Charles Barkley did select Allen Iverson first overall. So this is anyone's game right here.
So we're not conformed to or confined to positions and shit like that either?
No, just your five best. Just your five best. Doesn't have to be, I don't know, are we doing specific years of players? Like, or just the players, right?
I'd say collectively. I think collectively is fair.
Maybe give their best season.
Years, man. I'm going to fail this miserably. I mean, I'm the whitest white guy around. There's no way I know anything about basketball in specific years. So let's go with players.
Okay.
That's not true, Aesop. You forgot I'm good friends with PC Tunney. I think he's the whitest white guy ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my brother.
He might be our boss, like technically, but yeah. Yeah.
This is tough, man, because I'm stuck between two guys, and I got to go with this guy. Number one, I'm biased because I'm from Cleveland. And number two, the most impressive thing that I've ever seen on a basketball court was LeBron James dragging that 2007-2008 Cavaliers team to the finals. Yes, they got swept by San Antonio, but I don't think – when I make the argument that LeBron is the GOAT, that's what I lead with right there. What other player do you know could have drug fucking Ira Neubel, Aaron Snow, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Larry Hughes,
Delonte West.
Delonte wasn't even there yet. Like, Delonte was actually an upgrade. But who could have drugged that team to the NBA Finals other than LeBron James? So I got to start there. Plus, I mean, this is the first year in 10 seasons that he's made the playoffs and didn't make the finals. So, yeah, I got to start out with LeBron.
Jeez. Great pick, obviously.
That is easily the number one pick. It's not even close. You
could make an argument for Kobe, though.
That's who I'm going to roll with. My number two pick now, I'm going to take Kobe Bryant. I know him, and he got a lot of, you know, he had Shaq helping him out over there as well. But, man, Kobe, when he won those two with Pau Gasol against, like, the Celtics and the Magic, which is crazy that those were the teams in there, the Magic getting there, Kobe was just an absolute dog in the playoffs. I mean, in, like, his 2002 year, for instance, he was averaging 35-5 throughout the whole thing, putting up, like, 40 points in the finals all day. Kobe was just insane. I think technically is it four titles since 2000 for him? He might have won one before that, but he's got five all time. Kobe is definitely, I think, the number two pick in this situation as well, too.
Completely fair. My number three, this is where I get, like, it gets a little bit hard, and I have the next two picks. So, like, that still makes it hard. But I'm going to go with number three. I got to take the player that shaped the NBA today. It's got to be Steph Curry at number three.
Okay.
That man is absolute should be on everyone's Mount Rushmore because of, like I said, the way that he personally changed the game. And I give all my love to Steph Curry. He's probably my favorite player in the league. I was big on this boy coming out of Davidson. And every time that he loses, gets kicked out of the playoffs, I do have, like, some small pain in my chest seeing him go. So, yeah, Steph Curry's going to be my number one pick. Number two, though, shit. This is where things get difficult. And I think I just got to go with the potential. I'm going to go with Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah. Kevin Durant, dude, he has been the best player in the league for more than just this year. There have been multiple years where Kevin Durant is the best player, and some reason or another, he finds some way to completely amaze me again. Obviously, postseason, it was game two with Harden down and dropping 49 points. Absolute monster. Kevin Durant has to be my number two pick.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I think that's what we're going with. Now, I just don't know who to pick in order to guarantee that my next guy would be here. I'm going to pick his teammate. I'm going to take Shaq. Won titles with the Lakers. Won a title with the Heat as well. All right, I'm going to take Shaq. He's a stud in some of these playoffs. I mean, he's averaging in the 2002 season, he'd never scored under 34 points the last six games he played. Averaged 36.8, 13 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks. They were down to Sacramento. They came back, they beat them, and then swept the Nets right after too. I think Shaq was the most dominant player in the NBA at a time, and maybe the most dominant player of all time. I'm going to take him for my second pick.
Y'all literally just took my next two picks. So. Shout out to y'all for that.
Hey, there you go, Dave.
For this one, I'm going to go to the Riverwalk. Since you took Shaq, I'm going to take the second best big man of that era, which is Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was where I was faltered on. Do I go with Durant or Tim Duncan? Shit. I think Kevin Durant is better overall in the all-time, but in this, like, past 20 years, dude, I don't know how you fault taking Tim Duncan over Kevin Durant.
Oh, I'm taking Durant all day, but you can't. I mean, we're picking nits here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, you got the next one again. Too. Yeah, you got the next pick as well.
Okay, interesting.
Snake style, okay, snake style, baby.
My next pick. This is interesting. So where do I want to go here with my next pick? I'm going a little bit out the box here. It's probably not going to make a lot of sense in terms of building a team, but this Mellon Farmer was a dog. Everybody, and this is how I judge NBA players. I judge NBA players by if their peers respect them or not. And this guy is universally loved and respected by his peers. The answer, Allen Iverson.
Okay.
He's a dog. When it's nut cutting time, he's not going to be scared. He's not going to come up short. He's going to be right there. And the moment's not going to ever be too big for him. And him dragging that Phillies team to the 2001 finals, and the only team that year that took a game off that Lakers team, which was clearly far and away the best team in that playoff series. What he was able to do with that team, man, like you have to give him his props. So I'm going to go Ivo here.
All right. Okay. I knew he'd get drafted somewhere in here, just didn't know where. I am going to go someone a little bit recent, and I'm kind of surprised he lasted this long. I'm taking Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs. Like, holy shit. Kawhi Leonard is one of the best players in the playoffs the last 10 years for sure. He's got two finals MVPs with two different teams. He probably could have gotten a third one this year if he would have stayed healthy, and they did reach the finals to there. Kawhi Leonard is nuts in the playoffs. And talking about dragging teams, that Raptors team is not going nearly, not even close to the finals with no Kawhi Leonard on that team. And I understand that Warriors team was beaten up, but we were just talking about it. You got to play with what you have. And Kawhi Leonard went up and beat Steph Curry. They had Steph Curry still the whole time. And Klay and KD were out, but they did have Steph. And Kawhi Leonard is solidifying himself, I think, as with these playoffs as well, like the second best player in the NBA after Kevin Durant. I think you could argue that point, that he's better than LeBron James now. I think those two guys are the top two guys in the league. He just doesn't want to play in the regular season. So even more reason to pick Kawhi Leonard for a playoff draft.
Kawhi is a very solid pick. That dude just goes everywhere and wins. Now, my next pick, this one I'm surprised that no one picked. How did neither of you pick up Dwayne Wade?
He was next.
Dwayne Wade was so damn good, especially his first title, the one that he took more or less by himself. I mean, that dude, was he a rookie that year?
I think it was like 06, so he was probably like 2-3 years in the league.
Yeah. But I mean, he showed serious leadership throughout that series and continued with all that going forward, even after they got LeBron and Chris Bosh. Dude, Dwayne Wade is probably is someone that doesn't get the level of credit that he should. And that's crazy when you think about it, because it is Dwayne Wade, right? Like, we love Dwayne Wade. But, again, does not get that level of credit that he absolutely should as far as, like, playoff guys and the stature of playoff potential that he is. Okay. Oh, shit. Where do I go from here? Oh, God. This is so damn hard.
Oh yeah, you got two more picks here, baby.
I know, and I'm trying to lay one out is just
Paul Pierce
driving me. Fuck off, Paul Pierce will never make that list. For as much as Allen Iverson will never make your list, yeah, that's right, Chris Platt. He will not have taken Allen Iverson. Hates him, in fact.
I knew he was going to get picked. I wasn't going to pick him. I'm not. But this is your pick now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, my next pick, hear me out. He might not have the title, but him in the playoffs is fire. Give me Damian Lillard.
Ooh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's a great pick. That's a great pick.
I like that.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I'm picking him now is because I can't think of a fifth guy. He was going to be my fifth pick for sure to be like, ooh, drop it in, sprinkles. But Damian Lillard is always fire in the playoffs. He is one of the most clutch shooters of all time, I think. And it's the fact that he plays on those Portland teams that have basically no one on that squad outside of him. And maybe CJ McCollum. But Damian Lillard is a dog.
Yeah, and all he does is send people home. All he does. It's all he does is send people home.
He is my, yeah, he is my fourth pick.
All right, I like that one. I like that one. I am going to go, you know, I'm trying to build a team here too as well. I'm also writing our list down because I want to post these on an extra gum right packet right here because that was the closest thing I had to me. So, and I'm just doing the initials so because otherwise I'm not going to be able to fit it all either. I'm going to go with one of my favorite players to watch because of how, like, gross he looked when playing basketball. Dirk Nowitzki. Like, come on, Dirk. I got a 7-foot shooter on my team who no one's blocking. We're sticking with the theme of leading their teams to finals appearances. He had to go up against the Miami Heat team the first year they were assembled with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and he beat him in 6, I think. It wasn't even a 7-game series. Easily was the finals MVP, could not be stopped. He's got a regular season MVP too. I'm loving that pick, Dirk Nowitzki in the fourth. That's going to be my fourth player chosen right now.
Well played, sir, because I was going to snatch him up eventually. Like, y'all just keep taking on my shit. But I'm trying to build a team as well. And you see I'm going for gritty, I'm going for gutty, and this guy is the personification of that. I need another guard. I'm going Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Butler.
Ooh,
he's
okay.
A guy. Solid. Yeah, it's going to give you everything you possibly need for him. He's going to be able to defend multiple positions. And, I mean, as it stands right now, y'all motherfuckers not going to be able to score against my four right now.
I got Kobe on my team. Come on, man. And Shaq. What? I'm not scoring? What are you talking about?
Yeah, because it ended it so well the first time, right?
Okay. All right. All right.
Here I thought you were going to take Alonzo Mourning.
All right, Chris, you got one more pick, and you got to finish this off right here.
All right, Ben Simmons, I'm kidding.
Oh, shit.
This is tough, man, because I'm trying to build a team. So I got my backcourt. I got Ivo. I got Butler. We're going to throw LeBron at the 3. You can play Tim at the 4 or the 5. So I need another front court guy. All right, who am I going to pick for a front court guy? Number one, it's honorable mention to Robert Horry because I wanted to pick him so bad, but I can't justify it. But honorable mention to him. I was really going to go get Dirk for my 4, and Thomas fucked that shit up. One more. I need one more guy. I can't go Bosh. We're going 2000s and up. 2000. Oh, Kevin Garnett.
Damn
okay.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
Kevin Garnett.
Easy enough.
Another guy similar to Jimmy Buckets. He's a Swiss Army knife type of guy. He can defend. He can score if you need him to. He'll be the vocal leader of the team, and he got that dog in him, just like Ivo, just like Jimmy. So, yeah, I'm comfortable with that 5, man.
That yeah, solid 5. Solid 5. Yeah. I need a point guard right now. I got everything else. Looks like I need a point guard. I'm going to honorable mention my guy, Chris Paul, as well. Because of this year being his first year of playoff success, pretty much. I mean, other than that one year with Houston, I'm going to penalize him a little bit for that. So I'm not going to put him on my list. Now, this next player is probably definitely not as good as Chris Paul, but has had some playoff success in the past. And a little bit recently, and he's still playing today. I'm taking Rajon Rondo as the point guard right now. when he was in Boston, was a stud for him over there. Played a really big role in LA's run last year, I think, bigger than most people saw as a role player for them. And if he's going to give me the numbers like he was in Boston at the time, where he was just a walking triple-double with this team, and talk about scoring on my team, other than Dirk's liability, I'm happy with Rondo playing defense, too.
Playoff Rondo's a real thing. That's a solid pick.
And on Chicago, you forget when he was in Chicago. Yeah. He was big for their Chicago when he was playing.
That year when they were going up, was it Boston they were going up against? If he didn't get hurt that year, they would have won that series.
Definitely.
Yeah. I need a big guy.
Last pick here, Dave.
I don't know where to go with this, but I need a big man. All right.
Kendrick Perkins.
Man, you better shut up. A good honorable mention on my end is Anthony Davis. Ooh. I think Anthony Davis is a solid pick. He just doesn't have the same type of run as far as like overall career. I think I'm gonna go with Dwight Howard.
Oh, okay. Dwight, I wrote him on here. I did write him on here.
You know what? And that's a little shaky on my end, just because Dwight Howard, you know, doesn't have like collectively a good run. But dude, Dwight Howard in 2009 is insane. Dwight Howard was actually pretty damn good last year to help those Lakers win that title. And you know, he wouldn't have won it for him, or like they needed him to win it, but I think Dwight Howard has to be my guy. He is defensive like first team all time, and I needed the big center in the middle. I'm gonna take Dwight Howard for my last pick.
Yeah. That's not a horrible pick, but do you really trust Dwight Howard when it's nut cutting time?
No, but when I need a center, you know what? And if I'm going off of the last 20 years, I think he's the one that I have to go with. You know, I could have realistically done Anthony Davis, but I just don't think he has.
Bruh. We got Shaq missing? And Duncan. We got Shaq and Duncan.
Yeah, really, you know, Dwight Howard in the Magic. On the Magic, Dwight Howard was amazing. Probably one of the top five players in the NBA right here. Obviously is like definitely dropped off, but my last pick did too, so I don't hate it. A little bit of a throwback pick, but I don't know. I don't know who you pick, I guess. You could have took Jokic, but he just sucks in the playoffs. You got to have a little bit of playoff success, and he made a finals appearance by himself and has a ring now, too. So I'm okay with it, Dave.
Speaking of drop-off, dude, you know, Platt took Jimmy Buckets, who was non-existent in the playoffs this season. So
I didn't say I was taking 2021 Jimmy Buckets. Like,
well, I don't care. I didn't say I was taking 2021 Dwight Howard.
You're not thinking blonde, red, Dwight.
Oh, good God. Please, no. You know what? I might as well just change my answer to Nicholas Claxton.
Oh, fuck that. No, we'll end this shit right now. That's it.
Well, look, you know, it was either him. I could have taken, like, Pau Gasol, which wouldn't have been a bad one either, but
I wish you would have took Pau Gasol with our teams. What the fuck? Come on.
Yeah, I think defensively, though, Dwight Howard is so much better than all the available options. And, I like my team. I like my pick.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll do a little poll with it on our Twitter page. Maybe we can bump it out to another one. We'll post our teams. We'll have the fans decide who has the best team from right there. And, but yeah, that's about it for our episode right here. That was a lot of fun. Chris, thank you for joining us. You are welcome anytime. It was awesome to have you on for us. I hope you had a good time. I don't know. I think me and Dave speaking for him, but a lot of fun to add a third voice onto here.
Oh, hold on. We're getting close, but we still got to do some quick hits.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a lot, so you rattle yours off. You rattle yours off first.
First up, Madden 22 is going to be Brady and Mahomes on the cover.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers is sick as fuck. Sick as fuck, man.
Yeah, definitely a snub. You know what, though? At least they're the Super Bowl teams again. They did that with, Fitzgerald and Polamalu. like in 2000 whatever. I don't really care about that. Next up, Jimmy Kimmel. Did you hear this?
Yeah, he's going to sponsor a game. Go.
The LA Bowl. Yes. So he is actually going to be the sponsor bowl game for the number one team in the Mountain West and the number five team in the Pac-12 next year.
So we're going to, next year in 2022, we're going to get a Jimmy Kimmel Bowl.
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, baby.
Yep.
The Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Shout out to Jimmy Kimmel. That's fucking hilarious.
All right. And I think my last one has to go to American track runner Shelby Houlihan. She took to Instagram to talk about a positive steroid test. Do you know what she blamed? A pork burrito.
Yikes.
He blamed a positive steroid test on a pork burrito.
Ugh.
Y'all better get that swine out y'all diet.
I'm sorry. Also, it's Shelby Houlihan. Who the hell is that?
Yikes.
I don't even know who that is. Like,
only Patch is a Houlihan. That's all we know on this one right here.
Y'all not here for Shelly O'Houlihan. That is a glorious name.
Shalil? He wasn't even her name. That's why it was Shelby. What? It's made up the name.
Like, she's trying to make a name for herself, right? Just come out and admit that you took steroids.
Right.
And that way your name gets in the papers or something.
And I just learned how to say Ananakupo this year, Tom, so give me a break.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, Chris. Fair enough. All right, I'll put out some quick hits real quick. I have breaking news, by the way. Right during this. I just wanted to say I went to look some stuff up real quick because I didn't have too many quick hits. And this is big breaking news. Raiders DN Carl Nassib, 17 minutes ago, becomes the first active NFL player to come out as gay right now. So that was really big on him. Cool for Pride Month, I know, as well. I just looked it up. It just came out right now. And that's a big deal, especially for, you know, we had the Michael Sam situation that happened. How long ago is that? I mean, that's probably 10 years ago almost now. But
yeah, and Michael Sam was terrible. Let's just be honest.
Right. Carl Nassib is a legit player. I mean, he was pretty good name, big name. So that's a big deal right now. I wanted to talk about Ryan Krauser. Probably don't know the name right now, but you might have saw the video. Record shot put at the Olympic trials this week. Threw a 16-pound shot put 76 feet. Holy shit. That's Yeah.
How many pork burritos did he eat?
Yeah, exactly. Just holy shit, man. That's a grown-ass man. The record stood for 31 years, and he broke it. Last thing I wanted to say, Dave, your boy, Bob Baffert, he cannot escape me, okay? Anytime, I never heard of this guy before you even brought him up, but now the team I'm working for over here, the Arroyo Seco Saints, was just talking to one of my bosses over there who doesn't do this full time. He also works in the education field, and his son, Bob Baffert's child goes to the school he works at. He told me that. And he said, you know who Bob Baffert is? I'm like, son of a bitch, I do now because of this. So I cannot escape Bob Baffert and his horse racing legacy that he is putting on right now.
Isn't Bob Baffert the dude that breeds all the horses and
yes.
stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I had no idea who this was before that because I don't know.
I'm more of a Dwayne Lucas guy myself. But
okay. Yeah, right. That's our next draft.
Not Dwayne. D. Period. Wade Lucas.
Ridiculous. All right. That's our quick hits. That's our show for this evening. Thank you guys for listening. If you made it this far, thank you again, Chris Platt, for joining us this evening. You are welcome anytime after now. Make sure to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and of course on thechairshot.com.
I'm a carne asada guy.
Peace.
She wanna fuck with the TV screen on and light a cigarette in the back. keeping the video private. She wanna put your shit on her neck. Yeah. Let's go, let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.